of a thousand things. The Pilgrims called this country a shining city on the hill. Abraham Lincoln praised it as the last best hope of mankind. In boom times or bust times, America has always been the beacon of hope illuminating the rest of the world. Henry Gottlieb, who is our next guest, grew up in New York City, which probably explains why he likes to love and hike and get out into the wilderness. He's a reporter for the New Jersey Law Journal. Before that, he wrote for the Associated Press from New York, from Washington and Brussels, where he was the NATO correspondent. He likes to travel to exotic places, but there's no place like home. He lives with his wife, Agnes, and their three children in New York City. Welcome to the show, Henry. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you on there. And the theme today is right in your wheelhouse, things to love about America. And you've really, really, literally written the book on that. Your book covers such diverse entries as the Constitution, the Barn Owl, Jack Daniel's Number 7 Sippin' Whiskey, Internet Shopping, and the Game of Monopoly, all the way down to Chapstick. What made you decide to compile a list? Why did you choose 1,000 as the cutoff point? And how did you go about the process of ranking all of these different cool things?
Well, the genesis of it was back about 10 years ago at the turn of the millennium. I got together with three other writers, including my wife, and we wrote a book called 1,000 Years, 1,000 People, in which we picked the 1,000 most important people the previous 1,000 years.
Wow.
It was the book geared to the turn of the millennium. And we had some great fun with it, and we decided not just to pick the 1,000 things, but to rank them in order of importance, and we used the criteria. Well, here we are 10 years later, and things have not gone so great for America in the last 10 years. We've had 9/11, we've had divisive elections, Katrina, we've had this big recession, and we thought, hey, now it's time to talk about 1,000 things that are great about America. Maybe people can stop arguing about between themselves and argue with us about how we got our rankings, if we got them right or not.
Well, I love that idea. Let's take the focus and focus on the positive. I think that that is a great thing, and I love you guys for being the lightning rods for taking all of those shots as to what made the list, what didn't make the list. Tell us, what were some of your criteria, Henry, for getting onto the list of 1,000 things to love about America?
Well, first of all, the main thing is this something of national importance? Something that the whole nation can look at, say, yeah, that's us. And it just is it something that defines who we are as a people so well that people in other countries say, yep, that's something that defines America. For example, rock and roll, we rank that very high. It's something that America's gift to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Does the thing contribute to the total of the wisdom and beauty in the world? Does it have lasting influence and staying power? We don't want to just have passing fads in there. Although we are kind of current, some people might argue that things like Wikipedia and things like that may not be, or Facebook may not be lasting influence, but we're making a bet they are going to be around for a while.
Okay. All right. Good.
And that sort of thing. We try to be subjective, but of course we're human, and sometimes it took a couple of beers to figure out which one was tops or bottom.
Oh, I love the honesty. I love the idea. Must have been fun sitting around that table deciding what makes the list and what doesn't. Now, how'd you choose 1,000? Is it just because of the millennium thing? It was sort of a carryover from that?
Or? Exactly.
Oh, okay. So nothing magical in the number. It could have been 1,001. It could have been 10,000, but you decided to draw the line at 1,000.
Exactly.
All right. We're talking to Henry Gottlieb, everybody, author of the book, 1,000 Things to Love About America. Has some really interesting entries on your list. But I guess my first question is, you know, as you're putting some of these entries together for 1,000 things, what surprised you the most of some of these entries that were on there, and why did those entries surprise you?
Well, what surprised us is we did a lot of research. We went on the web, we talked to people, and things that we had never even heard thought of, people suggested and sort of took us aback. For example, number 86, the senior citizens' buses. It's just not something that you would normally think of, but a couple of people mentioned that. It's a great thing that they have in this country, and so we put that in. We looked for interesting restaurants. We looked for interesting games, companies, and, you know, some of the things, for example, fresh baked goods, that's in the 800s. That's just something that where America really does a great job.
fresh baked goods, more so than France or Italy or some of those other places that we associate with great pastries?
Well, I guess if I was running 1,000 best things about France, fresh baked goods would be number 10, but in our book, it's 876 in America.
876. All right, so it didn't make the top 10 by any stretch of the imagination. No. Okay, but it's still there. Okay, good. Well, now, the buses, the senior buses is a great thing. That would have surprised me as well. Was there anything else on the list that really kind of came out of left field?
Well, I think my wife, who's one of the co-authors with me, she lost an umbrella at a department store and went over and found the lost and found department. And said, hey, that's a great thing. Let's put lost and found departments in there. I'll just give you an example. I'll go through, like, I'll just picking at random. 880, Notre Dame football. Alania Restaurant in Chicago. The movie The Deer Hunter. Bomber House in Chicago. Warped Tour, which is the punk rock mecca. Olympic National Park in Washington. Here's one, traditional marriage proposal.
Oh, now that's interesting. How did that make the list, and who suggested that one?
Well, one of us was at a ball game, and, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but once in a while somebody will propose at a ball game, and they'll flash it up on the screen. And being, we decided to take a traditional view and say, you know, let's stick to the traditional marriage proposals. You know, like holding a Marry Me sign as you skydive past your girlfriend, maybe that's not such a great thing. So in our book, traditional marriage proposals, get down on that knee and say, will you marry me? That's one of the best things about America.
Oh, I love it. We're talking to Henry Gottlieb, everybody, author of the book 1,000 Things to Love About America. And those are just some of the more remarkable ones. What else made the list that sort of tickled or amused you, Henry?
Well, I was thinking about the book while I was at work. And I'd had a long night the night before and I fell asleep. And I decided that napping at the office is one of the great things about America.
Well, that's true. If you go to France or Europe, you can see that happening all the time, though. That's not so unusual outside the United States.
That's why it's in the 900s. Not too unique, but it's still a great American pastime.
That it is. Well, your list also, besides having some humorous things, actually has some very thought-provoking and some very insightful things. One of them is on your list, American openness is one of the vital things that you love. And yet, openness for us in the United States has sort of been a two-edged sword. On the one hand, I mean, as a people, we're very open, our media is very open, and generally speaking, our government is very, very open. But that has been, like I say, a double-edged sword for us. It's come back to bite us with 9/11, with some of the other things that people have access to, some of our deepest, darkest secrets. Would you comment on that, please?
Well, we weren't really thinking in terms of politics when we talked about our natural openness. We're just talking about the friendliness of American people. My wife and I were in Atlanta a couple of days ago, and just walking around the streets, you know, you can stop and say hello to somebody. They don't look at you like you're strange. Americans love making friends wherever they go, and I think that's something pretty unique about America. So we weren't thinking too much about open government. We were thinking about our society, in which people tend to be open with strangers and get to know them and make fast friends quickly.
We are very friendly people. Now, do you know where Ventura County is, Henry? Because I know most New Yorkers don't know anything west of the Hudson. Do you know where Ventura is?
I know it's in Southern California.
That's right. We are 25 miles south of Santa Barbara and about 70 miles north of Los Angeles, and we're some of the friendliest people in the United States. So you definitely want to include us in your list of the top 1,000 if you ever decide a list of 1,000 friendly places in the United States. We'd make that list, probably towards the top. All right, now one of the other things that you list on here, and I think that this is a great one, is the Gettysburg Address. In general, that's one of the greatest, shortest pieces of American oratory that there is out there. How do you rate not only the Gettysburg Address, but American orators in general compared to, say, other world orators out there? I mean, are we in the ballpark with some of the best in the world?
Well, I think we are, because if you go back in our history, our founding fathers and our early orators like Lincoln and Washington actually studied Roman oratory. They were masters at that. The Gettysburg Address, if someone wrote a book about it, Gary Wills, it just explain how it's basically the perfect speech because it takes all the great classical oratory methods in that regard. And I think, American oratory I would rank pretty high in the world. And I think it stems not just from our ability to speak well, but also the underlying message of America. There's something that our oratory springs from a natural do-good impulse that's ingrained in our country. And so it's not just the way you speak and your method, it's the soul that it springs from.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, when you think of the great orators, not only Abraham Lincoln, but you think of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, even as recently as Bill Clinton, they've all been great orators. That is something that we are blessed with here in the United States. We're talking to Henry Gottlieb, everybody, author of the book A Thousand Things to Love About America. It's a great compilation of some of the great characteristics that we have as a country. Henry, we've got to take a short break. We've got to do some business. When we come back, I want to continue on with some of the lists that you have, the 1,000 points of greatness here in America. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Billy the Brain. You're listening to Brainstorming here on KKZZ AM 1400 and streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. I'm pleased to say that we're heard in 37 states and the District of Columbia through the miracle of the internet. My guest today is Henry Gottlieb. He's written the book, A Thousand Things to Love About America, which fits in so nicely with today's theme, which is Things to Love About America. And on that list, Henry, as you look at the thousand, you know, one of the big things has got to be the state of California. That's probably at the top of your list, maybe even number one on the list of 1,000 things to love about America. But seriously, focusing in on California, there's lots to love here. What are some of the things that jump out in your mind from the list of things to love about California?
Well, first of all, the number one state in our book is Hawaii.
Really?
Just because it's so unique. And but California is the second highest ranked state in the book. It's number 38.
Number 38, okay.
Then we have the Redwoods, the actual Pacific Coast is
mm-hmm.
in there.
Yeah.
San Francisco, ranked high. L.A. we put in. California wine ranked the top 200.
Oh, cool.
And then a few sites, the Getty Museum in L.A., Mission of San Juan Capistrano, Death Valley, Stanford U, Hearst Castle.
Mm-hmm.
We have quite a few things in California.
Well, as well you should. Did Pacific Coast Highway, Highway 1, make it into the list?
It did. It's in there, too.
Oh, that's
and,
that's good.
Of course, we put Beach Boy music in, too.
Well, the Beach Boys, yes, they are truly considered part of California. That was part of the myth growing up in the 60s. Now, San Juan Capistrano made it into your list of California from the California missions. As you know, there are many, many missions along the Mission Trail. Did the Queen of Missions, the Santa Barbara Mission, make your list?
I don't believe it did, no.
Oh, then we're going to have to lobby for that.
We'll put that in.
Well, now, but brings up the ever bigger point. People who are listening to the sound of your voice might, you know, they might disagree with some of the choices that you've made there about California. How can people get actively involved in the conversation with you about your list?
Well, we have a website. They can log on and send us, we have a section where we goof. If you get the book, you can thumb through it and say, oh, my God, they left out this, that, and the other thing, and just send us a message. And the website is www.1000thingstoloveaboutamerica.com. 1,000 is in numbers.
The numeral 1000thingstoloveaboutamerica.com?
Right, and we're on Facebook also. And just chime in. We have a blog there. We've posted a few entries just to start a conversation. For example, what's more important, meatloaf or hot dog? That's a question that everybody in America wants.
Well, that is a burning issue, and it gets down, I guess, to beef versus pork. But I'm going to have to say the hot dog was more influential.
I think you're right. That's how we ranked it. But we have some mother's meatloaf lovers out there. So that kind of thing, you can log in, and you don't have to log in. Just go on the site and send us a note saying, you goofed.
Oh, I love it. You know, and with any list, people are going to feel things are on the list that shouldn't be there and things were left off of the list. So they can contact you at 1,000. That's the numeral 1,000 things to love about America. All right. Well, on your list, Henry, I wanted to ask you about a couple of things that I saw on your list that made me sort of scratch my head in puzzlement. And one of them was family farms. You list American family farms on your list there. But, you know, agribusiness, as we know it today, is just becoming such a big, big production that family farms are slowly getting edged out, I guess, by these large conglomerates. So tell me, you know, how does family farms figure into the picture of America? Why did it still make your list of 1,000?
Well, I'm glad you picked on that one because we had a big discussion about that, and we had originally ranked it, you know, in the 400s, 500s,
mm-hmm.
because of exactly what you're saying. But then you have to remember the name of the book, A Thousand Things to Love About America. It's not necessarily the things that are working well. It's things that we love, and the family farm is one of them. And as we said in the entry, it's struggling, and years and decades of decline is taking its toll. But still, it is one of those things that enriches our life. People who come from family farms share some rock-solid values, and it's something that we think is, you know, lovable.
And I can understand that thinking. I think that's good sound logic there. We're talking to Henry Gottlieb, everybody, author of the book 1,000 Things to Love About America. Henry, if somebody's listening to us talking about this list, they want to actually get the book, how and where can they find your book?
Well, it's in the major bookstores, and they can go online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I hope it's in small bookstores, too, but you can buy it online or in your local bookstore.
All right. Now, that brings me to my next question, which is exactly about those small bookstores. Did independent bookstores make your list of 1,000?
It did not, but, you know, every time we talk to somebody, we say, oh, my gosh, we goofed. I think that might be another example of that.
All right. Well, I'm going to lobby strong for independent bookstores being part of your list of 1,000 things to love about America, Henry. All right. Also in your book, certainly you talk about different charities. I mean, some very specific charities in your list of 1,000 Things to Love About America, which I think is great. The United States is, among the rich nations, however, not the leading charitable country. So how did individual charities make your list when we as a people overall lag behind some of the countries of Europe and Asia?
Well, I did not know that. I have always thought of America as a very giving country. And I think our charitable impulse ranked, I don't remember the exact number, but it ranked pretty high on the list.
It did.
We may not, as you say, be the best in the world, but Americans do give away billions of dollars a year to charities, and they volunteer their time, and maybe we should do better, but it's still one of the things to love about America.
Mm. Well, well said, well said. When things like Katrina come along or the Haitian earthquake, we are among the first in line to offer aid and to do what we can to help in those areas. And then the flip side of that, you know, something like the BP oil spill comes along, and you don't see a great outpouring of charitable contributions around the BP oil spill. So have to sort of balance those two things, and that's what I was trying to come to. When you look at American charitability, it's sort of an interesting dichotomy. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I guess you're right. I think Americans have maybe a short attention span, and I think you get situations where someone will go on TV or in the newspapers and say, oh my gosh, we've got a terrible situation here, and millions of dollars will come pouring out. I think my thought on it is sometimes people ought to make charitable contributions a more regular thing than just sitting at their TV and seeing a famous person on there and sending in money just because they were hit at a particular moment.
Well said, Henry Gottlieb, author of the book 1,000 Things to Love About America. Another interesting point that you make in your book on your list of 1,000, America is one of the most religious countries in the Western world, and certainly that plays into it. What would you comment on that, and where did religion rank in your list of 1,000?
Well, we rank our faith, or I should say, our America's faith faith-based thought as one of the major things in this country.
Right.
We ranked it sixth on our list, and so it's pretty highly ranked. Obviously, we're not saying one particular religion is better than another, or even any religion is better. It's just that we have belief in something that goes beyond our own personal lives, and religious freedom makes our worship possible, and faith makes it real. It's part of what is America.
Absolutely, and so that fits into your criteria of, is it nationally important? Does it help to define America? Does it contribute to the wisdom and beauty of America, of the world, and does it have lasting influence? And I would think that number six, faith, is certainly on that list. What are the others that are in the top 10, Henry?
Well, I don't want to give away the ending, but I guess, to be fair, I guess I should. And I would say that number one is pursuing the American dream. It's not the American dream. That itself is not number one. It's the idea that we're all pursuing it for ourselves and for the nation as a whole. And I think that's why, that really what separates America from other countries.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Our whole history is a struggle to give each individual an opportunity to make their personal dreams come true. And it's to be rich, to be educated, to sit in a canoe and drink a beer. that's what makes America great. Individual freedom to pursue whatever dream they have. And, of course, they're not always going to get there. And things have been tough for the nation at large and for some groups within it. But it is ingrained in our culture that we can achieve what we want if we try.
Absolutely, and that is truly one of the great things that we have exported as our persona to the rest of the world. I think that that's fantastic. Henry, in writing your book, A Thousand Things to Love About America, what did you get out of writing this book with your other co-authors?
Well, I think what I got, because it was a collaborative effort, the four of us all have different views. We're an interesting mix. There's three religions. We have people. One co-author grew up in a farm area. We have some big city people. What got me was the diverse views of just the four of us. So you can imagine how diverse 300 million people's views about what's great about America can be.
Mm.
And the only thing we actually agreed on was that baseball should be in the top 10.
And so baseball made your list. I love it. Even after the steroid debate?
Yep. That's what's so great about it. Survived the steroid debate. Survives all the horrible things that happened to baseball, but it's still the perfect game as far as we're concerned.
Oh, I love it. We're talking to Henry Gottlieb, everybody, author of the book, A Thousand Things to Love About America. Now, if somebody takes exception to any one of the thousand things that you have on your list, how can they submit their ideas or, try to create some controversy? How can they get a hold of you?
Well, just go on our website. 1,000 things to love about America, and send us an email. You'll find the email site there, or you can just go on our blog and post a comment saying, "Here's what I think are the best things," or give us your top 10 list. I'll give you one. We have we ranked New York City number 7.
Well, that's because you're from New York.
Well, not all of us are from New York. I'm the only one, actually. And I'm sure a lot of people out there in the rest of the country are going to say, wow, that's really hyping New York. So, send in what you think should be the number one city.
Okay. Now, how did you come to the conclusion that New York was the number one city?
Well, New York is the business, the cultural capital of the country. And it symbolizes the melting pot. It represents so much of what streams out into the country, the communications capital, entertainment capital, next to L.A. perhaps. It's just some of the ideas that pervade around America just come from New York.
Oh, I love it. We're talking to Henry Gottlieb, everybody, author of the book A Thousand Things to Love About America. I love list books. Henry, yours is right there among the tops. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate it. Wow, that brings us to the end of another show of Brainstorming. You've been listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Join us every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400 or streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. Next, we're going to have later in the week, Fritz Coleman is going to be our guest. We're going to be talking about internet safety for kids, Pockel Underhill, the goddess, the advice goddess, and Tiger Woods syndrome. Coming up next is Leading Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. Stay tuned for that. We end each show by saying go out and be the change you want to see in the world. We'll talk to you tomorrow.